Welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 139. I am Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
Hey.
And here we are in the back half of the Friday the 13th franchise, and we're entering very dark days.
Yeah,
but first off, I did want to mention a couple of things that I've seen recently that are new and relevant, I think. Not full reviews, just real quick. I saw the brand new Cult of Chucky. Have you seen that yet, Chris?
No, I haven't seen the one before that either, so I got to
catch. Oh, okay. I think Curse of Chucky might still be on Netflix streaming. It was for years. I don't know if it still is. That's how I saw it. That one I remember liking. I don't remember it well.
Okay.
Which kind of is a bad thing because Cult of Chucky is a direct sequel to that.
Mm.
So it would help if I remembered it.
Right.
But Cult of Chucky is... I did not like it. Like I actually like most of the Child's Play movies.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I think I like all of them except maybe Seed of Chucky, but I only saw that once. And so, you know, maybe if I saw it again, I'd like it more. And yeah, Curse of Chucky was kind of a return to a more serious type of Chucky movie. And
it
this
stopped,
is like
it
a dark
being
sequel
goofy, to- like, because, Bride of Chucky and was it Seed of Chucky? They're like they're almost comedies, like, or they try to be like horror comedies, and so
absolutely, yeah. But no, it's not in that vein at all.
Okay,
so it's like Child's Play series kind of goes through like these different movements. Like you have the original, which I think is very strong, and then 2 and 3, which kind of are like generic sequels to it. Then you have Bride of Chucky and Seed of Chucky, which are like you said, they're like horror comedies. And then they tried to bring it back to a more serious tone with the last two, at least, especially Curse of Chucky. And then this Cult of Chucky movie, the newest one, like it follows directly after that. So there's this woman who's in a wheelchair. Everyone died in her house in Curse of Chucky, and now they're blaming on her, even though it was Chucky that did it. So she's like in a mental hospital, and Chucky comes to the mental hospital to get her in this one. And I think my problem with this one is it was not like it tried to be serious horror in parts, but it also tried to be like everything. It was just total fan service throughout. So like it was jokey as well. It was just all over the place. The tone was all over the place. Like the people that worked in the mental hospital were creepy and weird for no reason. When you already have Chucky, like, I don't know. I did not care for it. Like I said, I'm not doing a full review, but I just, for whatever reason, it didn't work for me. There were things in it. There were individual scenes that were kind of good, but it was just kind of bonkers and all over the place. And I was surprised at how little I liked it, considering, like I said, I liked most of the series. And I thought that Curse of Chucky was pretty strong, like comeback for the series, and then you have this, which is just like trying to be everything to everybody. If you are a fan of the series, though, like it brings back a lot of cast members, like including I think his name is Alex Vincent, the kid who played Andy in part 1 and 2.
Okay.
And he has kind of a bigger, like, he's not in like the majority of the running time, but he has kind of like a big and important role in it. And there's some surprises too. So if you do watch it, I would say watch the credits as well.
Okay.
But yeah, I just didn't love it. I would, if I were going to rate it, I guess 2 stars. It's not the worst thing ever, but I was kind of let down based on the previous one.
Right.
I also just, Mr. Mercedes, the TV show, just wrapped up. And I just actually caught the season finale tonight. They did an excellent job adapting that book. So it was 10 episodes. They took a 300 page book, or, you know, 400 page book, and made a 10 episode show where, like I said before, they got to add things to it. They actually did some changes near the end, like somewhat significant, but also not the biggest deal ever. Like they stayed true to the spirit of the book.
Okay.
I'm sad, though, they cut out the final line of the book, which was something I loved. But, yeah, overall, they did a fantastic job adapting that. When you get a chance to see it, I think you'll be pretty pleased with it, Chris.
Do they stick to the concert kind of? No, okay. I just wanted to, especially with, you know, the situation that have just happened, how that would play.
So when the show first started airing, I was telling my girlfriend like everything I remembered from the book, and I was like, the show started airing, like, it was really weird. I want to say the pilot episode aired the week that woman got run over in Charlottesville.
Oh, Christ.
And yeah, so that's how that
book starts, is with a car running into a crowd.
Yes. And then I was like telling her, I'm like, you know, when it ends with him like planning this terrorist bombing, essentially, at like a pop concert.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, right in the wake of the Ariana Grande concert. They changed it. It's the same in everything except it's not a pop concert.
Okay.
It's an art gala type thing that the whole community's at, kind of like middle schoolers are at it. The young kid who's helping the detective throughout it is at it, like presenting. The kid that's like going to Harvard, he's like there doing
it. Yeah. His tech guy.
Yeah, and so my best guess is their change there is due to budget. Like, it's cheaper, you know, like if you had to do what was in the book, you would have to do like an arena concert type deal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So just shrinking it down to this doesn't really change anything significant about the story. It's the same idea.
No,
he's going into a crowd with a bomb.
It's a mass gathering, and you're still trying to fight through the logistics of stopping a bomber in a mass crowd.
And he's in a wheelchair. Like, most of the other parts of it are the same. But they did do, like, look, I don't remember the book 100%, but I'm telling you, in the last two episodes, they did some, I think, I'm pretty sure, maybe I'm wrong, but pretty big changes, and it still all, like, felt right. You know, almost like they did a better job than the book. It's stuck the landing, dude. It's really good show. If I had to rate the first season overall, I'd give it 4 out of 5 stars. And, like, yeah, you're going to have a good time with it, Chris.
Cool.
I'll
have to find a way to watch that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they'll put it out in some form eventually, right? Yeah. Like, they do that with TV shows, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, even if you don't have Netflix, like, there's ways to watch, like, House of Cards.
And good news surrounding Mercer Mercedes is it's been renewed for season 2. So I'm guessing they're going to adapt the
Finders Keepers or.
Yep. Yeah. So that's all great. And yeah, they did a good job.
Cool.
One last thing I wanted to mention before we get the show started is I got a chance to see this movie called A Ghost Story. Have you seen or heard anything about that movie?
I've heard about it. Like literally a guy in a sheet the entire time.
Yes. So if you've seen the trailer, it looks like this, like, you know, low budget artsy fartsy movie where Casey Affleck is walking around in a sheet as a ghost the whole movie. And that's kind of what it is. It's, you know, it is an independent, like, total art house film about it's like this couple, they're like renting a house and the husband dies tragically. And he becomes a ghost. And so the title, A Ghost Story, is completely accurate and literal here. You know, most ghost stories you see in movies, they're horror movies where a family is terrorized by a ghost that's haunting their house. This is a ghost story in that it's a story about a ghost. Like, it's his story. It's not a horror movie. It's, like I said, it's like an independent, like, very artsy drama. But it's essentially taking, it's like if you took a movie from the viewpoint of a ghost and followed the ghost around and, like, what is their afterlife like, you know? And, you know, he does, like, and while it's not horror, if you are into ghost stories, there are really neat ideas in this. And there are scenes where he is like haunting and scaring people and doing things that would happen in a horror movie, like a ghost movie, but it's very much not what it's about. I don't want to spoil it. Like, I really don't want to say much about a ghost story other than it's a very, art house film. It very much, it's got a big set of balls on it. Like, there are, in the first half hour, there are 2 5-minute shots where nothing happens.
Oh.
Like 5 minutes of a camera just staring at one spot and nothing happens. And it's like, it's almost like it's testing you or like trying to get rid of the people that should not be watching it or something. Like, you know, go ahead, like, turn it off now.
You don't like this. This one's not for you. Yeah. It's okay.
But once it gets going, like I'd say about a half hour in, and for, you know, it's barely 90 minutes. So about a half hour in, the last hour or so of it, I found very compelling. Like I said, very intriguing. Lots of cool ideas about the afterlife and ghosts. You could kind of call the movie a love story, but not really. It's more concerned with, I would say, like its central theme, like the central thing it's trying to get across is how small we are in the scope of time. Like our lives, like whatever, the 100 or so years or less that we live here is very small against all things. And the movie does a very good job of expressing that. It does kind of remind me of A Tree of Life, The Tree of Life from a couple years back. Do you remember that movie?
Yes.
I can't remember if you saw it or not.
No, I did. I didn't like it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you didn't like it. Yeah, like, think about that. It was a story about a family in the 1950s, but it was told through the scope of, like, from the beginning of time to the end of time. This kind of, like, reminds me of that, but it's not, that's more like what it's really about. And it's also shorter, so I don't know. I'd say, you know, it's like 87 minutes. So it's a tough one to say, like, hey, everyone, you got to go see this. You're going to love it, because I don't think that most people will love it. But if you are a film person, it's kind of like required homework. And whether you'll like it or not, who knows? I personally loved the movie. Like, I was sitting there like ready to turn it off 20 minutes in. I'm like, fuck this. This is this fucking artsy bullshit that, like, he thinks they, you know, they think they know what they're doing. It's kind of like Neon Demon last year, where I was just like, yeah, okay, whatever. Except that Neon Demon sucked, and this movie turned around halfway through, and I'm like, whoa, okay, I see. Like I said, I'm not guaranteeing that you're going to like it, Chris, but for end of the year discussion, I would say it's kind of a must, and just kind of a must, yep, in general if you're a film person.
Got it.
We'll see what you think of it. I personally, I'm leaning towards 5 stars, but I'm not even sure if that's where I fall yet. And I did watch it twice, so it needs a little more time for me to sit on it, and we'll be talking about it again for sure. But it's, yeah, very interesting. I recommend people check it out, like I said, but I don't know if you love it. That said, my girlfriend, who's not a big movie person, she liked it as well. So
cool.
There you have it. All right, time to get back to what we came here for, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Next time we do a film series, for one, we're picking up shorter series.
Yeah, this is what, 12 films deep? Like, we still got 2 more weeks of this, yeah. Although I think it gets a little bit better.
A little bit better than this.
We have a really bad time at the beginning of next week, but I think we have a fun one next week too, so.
Yeah, I think so. Well, I haven't watched
either of them in a while. In a long time, so. I remember liking it.
Well, we have Jason X. That's the one after.
Is it?
Yeah, we Yes, absolutely, for sure. So we have next week we have Jason Goes to Hell and then Jason X, I think.
Jason Goes to Hell is
I'll double check.
93. Jason X is 2001.
Holy shit.
You're right though. Freddy vs. Jason is 2003. So yeah,
Wow,
so good. A fun one in there. Yeah.
I mean, we'll see. It's been a long time since I've
I
seen
remember
Jason
it being
X.
fun. Yes.
And also, I do remember, and we'll get into this next week, I'm sure, when I start to look it up. But like, I remember Jason X. I want to say was shelved for years, and I was like dying to see it. And I can't even remember if it had a theatrical release or not. But
I think it did.
maybe. But I think if it did, it bombed. But we'll get into all that next week. Right
Yeah.
now, I want to take you back to the summer of 1988.
Okay.
For Friday the 13th, Part 7, The New Blood. This is directed by John Carl Beekler, who his previous work included Troll. It was released on May 13th, 1988. Other big movies of that summer included Die Hard, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, and Big.
So some good movies.
Yeah, for sure. It had a budget of 2.8 million and pulled in a box office of 19.1 million. And if you're keeping track of these numbers in your head, like I kind of am, it's another kind of downgrade. But they usually did make between like 20 and 26 million.
And they're
And they use,
still blowing out their budget.
yeah, they're still, yeah, the budget's still, between 2-3 million. So it did the business that they would kind of expect, but. Yeah, you could, it's starting to plateau. It's starting to diminish a little bit. I think with part seven and continuing into part eight, this is a series I think is clearly starting to get bored with itself. Like they're desperately trying for something new each time with seven and eight, and it is. They lack faith in the strength of the earlier film's simplicity, like. 1 through 4, yes, there was plots to them a little bit, but they didn't have like a gimmick to them. I guess part three did have a pretty big gimmick. It had that 3D, but I would say both of the films we're going to talk about tonight have like pretty big gimmick to them.
Yeah.
And with part seven, that is, we're basically getting Carrie versus Jason here.
Yep. Telekinesis versus Frankenstein zombie monster.
Well, I guess he was kind of full zombie in six too, right?
Yeah, like he six is where Tommy stuck him with the rod, and then he was shocked back to life.
But he is
Yeah.
like really zombie in this one. Like when he gets out of the lake near the beginning of it. You can see like his whole rib cage and his spine and everything. Like,
Yeah, he's gross. He's a well done on the makeup side for him.
is a total monster. It's cool too, because, like, not to jump ahead too much, but at the end of the movie, you do get to see him exposed for quite a bit of time at the end there. I don't know. Like, what did you think of how he looks? Unmasked in it.
He's pretty gross. I actually
Like, do you
like
think it's good makeup work?
it's decent.
Yeah, I like it too. And by the way, that's also the director. Like, he's a special effects guy that was doing it, so all that makeup and shit was him.
I think that they do a good job in like putting a visual effect on Jason, making him seem more than just like a dude in a work suit that is walking around killing people. He looks like a monster in
Well,
this
and
one.
yeah, and well, and, yeah, like in the last 20 minutes or so, he gets to run around for most of that final act with the mask off, and that is at the decision of the director because I think he wanted to show off
Hey, look, I did something cool.
his, yeah, but it was against the wishes of the producer, like not it was against her orders, and he did it anyways. So there was a lot of butting heads between the director and the producer on this. or one of the producers on this. Anyway, so this movie starts off, I forgot how many years this, it's supposed to be some years, I want to say like 10 years or some bullshit after the events of Part 6.
Which were supposedly took place in 1990, so this would put it at 2000?
Dude, we're like going to be running up to the Back to the Future 2 territory. Like, we're going to be at 2015, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and that's the opening of this. So it opens in the past of the film, where right. Tina's a little girl. This little girl is living, I think they live there on the lake, or I don't know what the fuck. There's an abusive dad. He chases her out, and she goes out in the lake on a boat, and she's all upset. And she accidentally kills her dad because...
Yeah, she uses her telekinesis, which she can't control. And she kind of like,
and I, don't,
I wish you were dead. Then there's this terrible shaking of the dock, and it collapses.
Yeah, and also I do, I mean, I hate to pick on kid actors, but I think that the little girl that she's plays awful. Her is really bad. Yeah, and the dad's not much better. I think, too, this is another one of the movies that has like a recap at the beginning before all this. Which I thought was a pretty good, like, they kind of did the same thing that they did at the beginning of the final chapter, just kind of running through some of the earlier kills and stuff, right, and telling you what's going on. But anyways, all of this happens, and then we cut back into the future where she's like 18 years old or whatever, and she's coming back to Crystal Lake, which, by the way, is named Crystal Lake again, because who gives a fuck?
Right. Been long enough.
Yeah, well, but they—I forgot what they renamed it in Part 6, but it had a completely different name, and that was like a big plot point of Part 6.
Yep. We're trying to hot, like, it was almost like a. It was almost like they took the idea of Elm Street, where the parents were like hiding the secret.
Yeah,
and like, oh, well, we changed the name. Like, we've hidden the past. Like, Jason doesn't exist. Like.
That was always actually one part I really loved about Elm Street, especially like the original one. The fact that like the parents all had this secret in their past,
yeah, like they murdered this child molester, and like they hid it though, and whatever.
So we cut back, or we're in the future now. She's almost an adult. She's going back to Camp Crystal Lake, which is named now again, and. She's there with her mom and this doctor guy who I forgot the actor's name, but he's the dude from Weekend at Bernie's. Like, he's Bernie. and yeah, for whatever reason, this doctor is taking her back there to, I guess, presumably, like, she's got issues. I don't know if they even say what the issues are.
Like, Well, I guess, like, he knows that she has these powers, right? But, and she can't control it, so they view her as dangerous. But there's, like, a ulterior motive to him bringing her there, so.
But it's not, like, so it's all basically to, like, help her control her powers, but not deal with her mental well-being? Like, or is it, like, they're...
Well,
I think I'm thinking too deeply on this. But.
Yeah, so, like... The way I took it, because there's a couple things in the movie that point to this, though, is that he brought her there because, well, she could do, like, this basically magic. She can, like, move shit with her mind.
Yeah, and he wants to use it and exploit it and...
To bring back Jason.
Oh, is that specifically what he wanted to do?
Like, they find, like, a file of his... that has like all the clippings of Jason and how the body was never recovered. And it's at the bottom of the lake. Like, and the doctor seems to understand what's going on. Like, he seems to know that
well,
Jason's back, kind of, but they kind of throw it out also in like the last third, because then it's like, He just doesn't know what to do. And I don't know what his plan was once Jason was out of the
right, like, fucking water. Like, all right. this is what I get for like half watching and taking a billion notes while I'm watching. Is like I kind of miss the more obvious stuff like that. Like I thought, like maybe the company that he works for or some weird bullshit. Like they would want to use that power in some way, and so he was trying to exploit it for them. I didn't know he was doing it just to bring Jason back.
No, it very much seems like he was trying to pull him out of the water.
What would be the fucking point of that? Like, that makes no sense.
Like, it would almost make sense if he, like, kind of along the angle that you were going on of, like,
yeah,
he's like working for some sort of military company.
Yeah.
And, like, harnessing that power, but instead of just harnessing the power of her, like, fuck, we can get, like, this ultimate killing machine. Let's harness the power of Jason, like, if she can get him out of the water. Like, but why also wouldn't you just dive down to the bottom of the fucking lake and bring him back up?
Like, or literally anything. And then why would you bring this guy back?
Right.
He's done a lot of damage. Yeah, but the doctor is obviously a shitbag right from the fucking start. Yep. Like, you know, it's very obvious that he does not have good intentions. You're just not entirely sure what he's up to from the beginning. And he gets her really upset during one of their sessions, and she runs out. And this is one of the dumbest Jason resurrections, if not the dumbest in the entire series. She runs out on the fucking pier or whatever and, like, accidentally wishes Jason back to life.
Because like, she wishes her dad would come back. So she's trying to resurrect her dad out of the water. And instead, it's Jason.
And this is a good reason why I think, like, modern movies don't explain how the person comes back always. Like, because who gives a fuck? Yeah, like, they're back. That's all you need to know. Who gives a shit? Like, the whole, like, them trying to keep its continuity at this point, like, and then, like, trying to, like, be like, well, he's still drowned in the lake, and we gotta figure out how we're gonna get him out of that lake. Literally nobody cares, dude.
Right.
So then he comes back, and he spends a good chunk of the movie killing these people next door who, again... Talk about unlikable characters, dude. Like, one of your big points against the final chapter was, like, yep, you didn't like anyone in it.
Nope.
The people in, like, the teenagers in this cabin next door, they're not just douchebags. They're, like, yeah, they're, like, intentionally cruel.
Yep.
They are written so that you're happy that Jason kills them.
Yes.
And so for, like, a big part of this movie, he's almost a hero because you want to see, like, the girl Melissa. You want to see her go. She's an awful person.
Yep.
You know? And you know what? I might as well get into it now. Very interesting story. So you know what I'm saying when I say Melissa, like, the blonde girl?
Yeah, she's the one towards the end.
Yeah, so I was watching, like, the documentary. Yeah, yeah, super bitch. I was watching the documentary on this, and they're talking about her, the actress. I want to say her
name.
Susan Jennifer Sullivan. And in the documentary, when they mention her, they say the late Susan Jennifer Sullivan. And I'm like, well, that would be a pretty young, like, if she's dead already, if she's like, she looked like she was like 20 years old in this movie. So yeah. I look it up, and there's not a whole lot of info about her on the internet. Like, I guess she left the public spotlight, but supposedly died in 2009 of cancer.
Huh.
Except that there's a big portion of the internet that does not believe she's dead.
Okay.
And they have somewhat compelling reasons. Like, the obituary, it's the fact that she's dead is based entirely on an obituary that was printed on in a newspaper in Boston. You know, there's other people in this country that are named Chris Scott. You know what I mean? So yes. Someone goes and Googles and finds Chris Scott obituary.
I'm dead multiple times a day.
Yeah, exactly. So, and I guess the picture that accompanied this obituary was clearly not her. There's all sorts of weird things like that. Like, you know, there's no real proof, and everything just seems to be on this obituary. And she's kind of out of the spotlight, and I guess clearly does not want to. You know, she was not a public person after this. For like, she, I think this might have been one of her last acting roles. I think she maybe had one more.
Yeah, she only after this. There's a IMDb lists her as with three roles. She was Melissa on Friday the 13th. She was somebody named Lisa in a movie called Click, the Calendar Girl Killer. And then she appeared on a pair of Charles in Charge episodes.
Yeah. So yeah, she didn't do much, but like, it's just super weird because especially in the horror community, like there's people that did stuff in the '80s, like her, like one, like they were in one Halloween or one Nightmare on Elm Street. And these motherfuckers make a living out of the horror conventions, you know?
Yeah.
So I just, it's really weird that she fell off the map, supposedly died, but there's no real proof. And there'd be, like, you would think there would be, like, family members that people could try to get a hold of to figure out if this woman actually had died. And I don't know. So if you're an internet sleuth out there, here's a little case for you to try to figure out. Like, I even read one thing saying, like, no, her mom posted, like, on a Facebook comment saying, no, my daughter's still alive. She's totally fine. Like, she just wants to be left alone. Like, but who knows? You know what I mean? Like, it's really weird.
It's funny because my wife doesn't watch a lot of horror films, but she had come down while I was watching this one on Monday, and the character Melissa was on screen. I was like, she looks so fucking familiar. and I couldn't place where she was from. And my wife and I finally came, like, she has a very similar facial structure to Jane Krakowski, who is, if you've ever watched Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, she plays Jacqueline White on there, the rich person that is Kimmy's friend. And she's also been on, like, 30 Rock and stuff like that, but obviously not the same person. But
like, unless she changed her identity,
right? Maybe she did. Like, and I mean, it's, you know, we're looking at a film from like the, you know, late 80s, and yeah. Like, now this person's obviously look like a bit older, but yeah, like she looks that way. Like, and it's funny because Jane Krakowski would have been about 20 years old at the time this movie came out, which would have been, you know, pretty much spot on for that. It's funny, like, it's just weird that like the whole thing is like kind of like, oh, she's dead. Like, did she kind of like change her name?
Conspiracy theories here, but just saying.
Super interesting.
Something fishy here. Yeah, I found that, like, once I started to go down that rabbit hole, I was like, I wish I went deeper, but there's just not much out there. Not a lot of people care. Like, it's just very interesting, though, that it would be disputed at all. Like, you figure if someone's dead, it's known. Like,
yeah. Especially with like, something like this. Like, you know, these actors, as you said, like, hey, you can appear in one of these films, and you can end up going to these horror conventions and comic book conventions and sci-fi conventions. And like, you can make a decent enough living off of like just showing up and being like, hey, Melissa from Friday 13th, part 7's here. Like, and like, people will show up and like pay you for your autograph and shit. So
yeah, they make, I mean, yeah, like you said, decent living, like a good, honest, like middle-class living. Like, so, yeah, I don't know. I have no idea, dude. Like, it's super weird that there's not more info on it. And you would think, like, if you read the obituary, she survived by her husband and their children. So, like, you would think there'd be people to contact. I guess maybe no one cared enough to, like, you know, no reporter out there is out there, like, trying to figure out, is this the person? You know, I don't know.
Right.
I mean, the documentary states it very matter of fact. The late so-and-so, but, like, when you go into the internet and look into that, because I wanted to find out how she died. I'm like, you know, she's very young.
Right.
I got into a very weird rabbit hole of like, wait, she might not be dead? What the fuck? yeah, like, Google her name sometime. It's pretty interesting. But getting back on track, yeah, like, these are all fucking terrible characters. Like, even the nerdy guy is a total piece of shit in this movie. Like, yep. Like you think you might like him at first, and he does have one of my favorite lines of the movie, which is, "I've been rejected by some of the finest science fiction magazines in the continental United States." Like, what the fuck? But even he is like cruel. I mean, he participates in a prank against Tina for no reason. So yeah, I guess I'm happy to see most of the people go in this. I think that some of the kills are pretty decent, and some of the tools Jason uses in this movie are pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Like, I do remember when I was a kid seeing a commercial for this on TV, and he had that, like, long fucking saw on a stick, whatever the fuck that is, like a cheese saw or something.
Yes.
And I remember, like, seeing, like, the person going, oh, man, he's getting some crazy, like, hardware in this one.
Well, it was something that kind of clicked on my head, too. It was like, he's never used power tools before. Like, yeah. Not that I remember, right? Like, I mean, like, yeah. He's had a chainsaw used against him, but I don't think he's ever, like, jacked up, a chainsaw or a weed whacker or, you know, the edger that he was using in this one. Like, he never does that. Like, he doesn't need power tools. It's fucking weird that, like, he, like, cranks it open and is, like, just walking by with the edger. It's fucking weird.
Yeah, and I just, like, that stuck out in my mind from when I was a kid. I remember seeing the commercial. Like, this is when I was starting to be really aware of new movies coming out, and I remember seeing a commercial for Part 7. They showed him with that saw, like, that long saw, and I was like, oh, my God, this is going to be the ultimate Friday. Like, for whatever reason, just him having that tool, I remember thinking, this is going to be the ultimate Friday the 13th. And when I did finally get to see it on, like, home video, I remember I did like this one. I wasn't as in love with it as some of them, but I remember liking it. Also, one of the other tools he has in this is, like, it's a crazy-looking, like, scythe thing that looks like a hockey stick or whatever. Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you remember seeing that? It's, like, almost shaped like a hockey stick. I'm like, what the fuck is that? Is it supposed to be a scythe? Like, I don't know.
I don't know. He, like, got some weird garden tools for this one.
Yeah. I think there's some decent kills, although this is another one, like Part 5, that got super heavily edited. In fact, this one is infamous for how much has been edited out of it. Like, all the kills are cut short or just completely neutered. The raw footage, the negatives were destroyed by Paramount. So it kind of sucks because it would be cool to see an unrated version of this. Because I do think, like, I did dig some of the kills in this, like,
well, and I mean, like, just the visual look of Jason in this film is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And so, like, to even see a little bit more of that would have been nice, but.
Yeah. And you have, like, the sleeping bag kill. Like, yep. And the sleeping bag kill, that's another interesting one. That is one that is also cut. Because in the original version, he slams her body against the tree like fucking 7 times.
Hey, yeah, that's like once here. And it
yes.
Like, slams her against once and then it like pops down. It's like, wow, he's pretty fucking strong.
Yeah. And actually, in the documentary, Kane Hodder was like, I actually think this is one of the few examples of the edited version being a little bit better. He's like, it's just, I don't know. He goes, for whatever reason, like that one hit and the impact and that's it kind of made it work better. I don't know. And you do get to see like raw footage of that, like with him whacking her against the tree multiple times in the documentary, but it's really shitty footage. Anyways though. Yeah. Like, I hate all these people. I was glad to see them fucking die. But, and it's not, like, I think it's, most of the movies, like, kind of poorly done in some ways, like, other than, like, I think some of the kills are cool, but, like, just not a lot of it makes sense, and everyone is very fucking loathsome. But, once we get into, like, the last 20 minutes or so, I think I'm having some fun with this. Like, the final showdown, once that starts between Tina and Jason.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like it. Like, it's for once, Jason is like kind of equally matched against somebody, like somebody that has powers and can like fuck him up and shit. And the fact that she's like this, like got these telekinetic powers, it like allows them to kind of do some like kind of action and special effects type stuff, which is like, yeah, there's always special effects in Jason movies, like especially, you know, makeup and gore effects, but like they're doing some more stuff here with like shit flying around that she's making fly around. And I don't know, like I just always, even since I was a little kid, like the idea of like someone who's not afraid of him, who's fighting back at him, and she's got these powers.
Yeah,
I don't know, how did it work on you? Like, what do you think of this part 7?
I like some of the idea behind it, and I do think that you know, some of the kills are interesting, even if they are cut. And yeah, the last half hour or so is kind of a fun. It's a fun time, like once Jason starts kind of really stalking and killing these people, it's stupid, but it's fun. Like, yeah, it's just it's kind of a good time, even if there's so much bad about it.
Yeah, it's just kind of like low budget and poorly done, even though it's kind of the same budget as all of them, but it just feels like low rent. But yeah, like you get the last half hour, like seems like they tried at least on that part. And you know, just the idea of someone who fight them, like it's, I don't hate this one. It's like an okay time to watch, especially considering I haven't seen it in forever. It was like cool to check it out again.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I don't think it's good.
But, no, I don't think it is either.
But
I don't hate it though. Like I don't hate it like I hate 5. Like I just,
yeah, I didn't okay. Come away going, this is terrible. I was like, it's, you know what, this does enough that like, all right, like I see where they were going with it. I kind of like the idea behind it. You know, it's evidently this was originally set up to be Freddy versus Jason, but I guess they weren't that,
yeah,
that fell through, and so then it was like, as you said, like Carrie versus Jason,
scary. Yeah,
yep. Which was kind of just like thrown true. Together, but it was interesting.
It spawns from that idea of let's do Freddy versus Jason. They couldn't get that, and so they're like, "Well, let's do something where like someone could kind of fight against it."
Right, and that, I think that does, it changes up the formula enough, right? Like, because so much of the previous 6 films are, and they still play with that. Like, we introduce all the people, Jason kills all the people. And then we meet up at the end where it's, you know, the final girl, maybe the final guy. And we play around with them as they play cat and mouse. But then that whole final act is kind of twisted on its head because she can actually push back against Jason and
yeah,
stand up to him.
It's cool, like her electrocuting him when he's standing in the puddle, or them like when she's in the house and she like rips the mask off his face and you get to see his, like, I don't know. It's fun once you get to that part, I think.
Yeah.
Although I do have to say, the way she finally takes him down, I really hate.
Oh, it's so stupid.
Well, for one, the house explosion, spectacular. Like, holy shit. But like the whole, like she basically calls her dad out of the water and he drags Jason back down below.
Right.
You really needed to like rethink that whole thing. It's dumb. Like, it's really dumb. For one, and we've touched on this already before when we were talking about young Jason drowning, why is her dad's body still in the lake? Like, wouldn't they have had a funeral and like got the body out and
that'll, yeah, that'll, I would have thought like you don't just leave him down there. Like, he was on the dock. Like, if he was underneath the dock,
yeah, the dock, he's out of the literally lake. Underneath the dock.
Like, and you don't leave him there.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they cleaned up the whole dock and rebuilt it, and yeah, whatever. But on top of that, even worse, is how come when he jumps out of the water, he looks like he was just, like, going fine. For a swim? Right. Yeah, like, he's, like...
Like, Jason has rotted.
Not dead at all.
Like, literally, Jason has rotted since 6. Like he, like you see bones, you see ribs, you see like, you know, worms and shit like attached to him. And for whatever reason, her dad just pops out of the water like, "Hey, I was taking a bath."
Yeah, I hate that. But whatever. I mean, it's a junk movie, but it has like things about it that I like, and I don't hate it. So I don't know. What's your favorite kill, Chris?
My favorite kill for the new blood is Judy in the sleeping bag. Like it's just it works. It's a good time.
It's such an iconic kill, and it comes back in the series later.
Yeah.
I'm like tempted to lean towards that, but one that I really like this time, and I'm gonna go with, is when he kind of golf swings an axe to a dude's face. Like just like the way he swings it at it was cool. And you do get to see the guy's face a little bit later, kind of like in the background and stuff, like just split down the middle. I thought
Nice.
that was pretty cool. So, and I honorable mention to those two is right after that, the girl that's swimming in the lake getting dragged down below. I like the image of her just being pulled down below in the
Yeah.
lake. It's pretty cool. Favorite girl?
Robin.
Okay.
Let me just see if I can explain to you who she is. She is the one that her and like the dorky girl are going after one of the guys. They're kind of Maddie is the kind of the nerdy girl, and Robin is her friend. Like they're kind of the least bitchy of the crew there, and Robin, she kind of like cuts in front and hooks up with this dude, and she's the one that ends up
Oh
naked in the
yes.
bed.
The redhead. Yeah. Yeah, I was kind of going with her, but honestly, I'm gonna go with Tina, dude, the final girl, because like this is another thing. Like I'm gonna say this a lot of times, this she's really good looking now, I think. Like she doesn't have that like frizzy hair that she had in that movie.
Okay.
And also like because she was probably one of the only people I didn't hate in it, so
That's fair.
that helps as well. Rating for New Blood.
Two stars.
I'm going to as well. And then a year after that, they thought they had to have another gimmick. They thought they would have some fun. Like, let's put Jason in a different setting. So we got Friday the 13th, Part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan. Written and directed by Rob Hedden. Released July 28th, 1989, the same summer of Batman, Indiana
Yeah.
Jones and the Last Crusade, Lethal Weapon 2, The Abyss, Dead Poets Society. Pretty strong summer.
Yeah, and when this movie was filmed, it was in the middle of marketing for Batman. So
Yes.
the bat symbol shows up a couple times in this movie.
It is one of the
In
few
Times
things
Square.
that. Yeah, it's one of the few things that makes this movie worth existing is to get that like some really cool shots of Times Square during that summer. And especially like you said, that shot of Batman right in the middle of Times Square. So cool. All right, so this is where I think it starts to shit the bed a little bit. Budget, $5 million, which is the biggest budget yet, which I believe probably had to do with shooting on location in New York for at least some of it, right?
Very little of it at that, but yes, probably.
Yes. Yeah. Box office 14.4. So this is to date the most expensive Friday the 13th film, and also to date the least profitable, like made the least money, as you know. So for good reason. Friday the 13th Part 8 is not good. But like I told you before the show, like I kind of love it because it's ultra cheesy. It's peak 80s. Like it's super 80s, dude. Like
Oh, yeah.
and it was one of the first ones that was like current when I saw it. Like I think Seven was current. Like I saw it when it came on video, and then but Eight, like I also did not get to see Eight in the theater, but I saw it on video. But I do remember like I remember distinctly seeing the trailer for Part 8 in the theater. Who knows what movie? And just like they did, you know, they do this thing where it's like a billboard of a hockey player, and like it's in the movie, and it like shows Jason. You're like, oh shit, and he's in Manhattan. Like that was just,
yeah.
I was super excited for that. And while the movie is a big letdown on that front, it's just fun and fun junk food, kind of like the last one in a way. For me, anyways, I don't know where you're going to go with this one. I know it's bad, but I like it. So I don't know. How do you feel about this one?
So I have similar feelings, nostalgic feelings for this film. It was one of the kind of like the first ones that I really remember, like, you know, getting into and seeing. But wow, it is, it's a rough watch now. Like, it really is. I'm sure we'll get into it in a little bit.
Yeah.
It's,
you saw it in the theater?
No. I'm pretty sure I saw it on VHS or somebody probably had rented it or something. I did not see it in the theater. The first one I saw in the theater was Jason Goes to Hell.
So like you meant it was one of the first ones you like got into as a kid, like you like were into it at the time. Okay.
Yeah, like it was, you know, it's like it's probably where I kind of like jumped onto the series. You know, friends were like at that time they were watching it, and so I was like, oh, all right, yeah. And like, so I remember like really kind of like thinking it was cool. And at the time, I'm like 11, 12 years old when I saw it. Like, it probably was pretty cool. Like, you know, a murder monster going around, killing everybody on a boat. Like,
yeah.
Ending up in New York, walking through like Times Square. You know, there's some nudity in it. Not a lot, but enough. So like an 11, 12 year old kid, like, yeah, it's pretty cool.
I guess that's how I kind of answer it. Like, I do have like nostalgia for this one. It's like the guilty pleasure of the franchise for me. I mean, and this is a franchise filled with at least like three or four guilty pleasures, but this is one of them for me. Like, I enjoy it despite knowing better. Like, I know it's not good, dude. Like,
I wished it, like, I was like, yeah, like, I could, like, and there's things about it that I like, and we'll definitely touch on them.
Yeah.
But I dozed off in the last 15 minutes of this movie, had to rewatch it, which is the second film in this. I fell asleep during part six as well, and had to kind of go back and watch some of it. But yeah, that's where I am with this one.
All right, let's go through it a little bit. First off, it opens up with this cheesy ass opening music and a cool voiceover that lets you know what's up. The song is called "The Darkest Side of the Night" by Metropolis, and I actually kind of dig the song. On the darkest side.
All right, yeah. I think I did. Like, it was very like 80s hair metal-ish. Like, yeah.
And it's kind of like, how does the music go? It's kind of like bow, 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 bow. And they play it again at the end as well.
Yes. Okay. Yes. I don't remember it from the beginning, but sure. I do remember it from the end. Yes.
At the beginning, like, you kind of have like this kind of sleazy voiceover guy, like, telling you about Jason, and I think he kind of talks about New York too, for whatever the fuck reason.
Right.
Then we go to Crystal Lake, and a couple gets killed on this little fucking boat, or kind of like, it looks like a little yacht or whatever.
It's a pretty big fucking boat for that. Like, one, and I'm still constantly perplexed by how big this fucking lake is.
Exterior
in the middle of New Jersey.
Which
another thing that we're gonna have to touch on, but
yeah, he somehow swims out of to get on this fucking cruise boat. But yeah, anyways, we're starting with this little like a yacht or something on this lake. This young couple on it, and they accidentally bring him back to life this time with electricity again. There's some electric cable on the bottom of the lake?
Yeah, it's like,
And
why is that, like, why is
I don't understand.
Why is that there?
Why would electric, like, why would electric cable be running through water? I don't think that would ever, like, I don't know. I don't know things. I'm not an electrician.
I don't either. But, like,
I'm not city planning, but.
And maybe it does, but I don't think they just toss the cable into the water. Like, it wouldn't just sit there for, like, I think that they would put it in some sort of encasement, like, so that, like, if an anchor or something were to drag against it, it wouldn't just, like, electrify the entire fucking lake.
But yeah, like, so, like, yeah, their anchor drags across this cable and sends it, like, this cheesy blue electricity. That's like drawn in. It brings Jason back to life. He gets out and gets on the boat and kills them both. And also, he is like slimy as fuck in this movie.
Oh yeah,
he's like slime from start to finish. He always looks wet, which I think is kind of a neat touch. Like, I actually kind of dig it. There are things I don't like about Jason in this, which we'll definitely get to. But, like, I do think the slimy thing is kind of cool. So then we cut to, like, this, like, it's, I guess, a high school class graduating, and you give us the logistics of this, because I remember you were kind of talking about this, about, like, how the fuck,
all right, explain. So, wherever they're going to high school at, they're all going on this cruise to New York. Now, I live in Pennsylvania. I live right outside Philadelphia. I've traveled to New York many times. It takes about 2 hours by car. Now, granted, by boat would take longer from here. Like, you'd have to go down the Delaware River out into the Atlantic Ocean and up to New York. It would not take the amount of time, though, that this did. Like, I've been on a cruise before. You can make some pretty good headway on the ocean.
Yeah.
And I've taken ferries from New Jersey to New York, like
the ferry. So yeah,
yeah. Like, it's not like this. Like, all right, maybe
a voyage.
Yeah, it's like, this is literally a. I don't know where they went, but it wasn't from New Jersey, which they've established in this film previously is where Crystal Lake is. I don't know where they would have left from, because you don't put a boat like that on a lake. Like, it would need some sort of opening to a river to get out to the bay, to the ocean. So, like, where were they at? and it just takes an inordinate amount of time for this boat to get from where it is to New York. Like, it's kind of crazy.
I would agree with you. Like, I did not even think of that angle, and that's a very good point. They don't talk about that in the documentary, but they do talk about the fact that somehow Jason was able to swim to this thing, like, in the ocean. And the writer-director is like, yeah, I guess some people, like, I knew some people would question that, but it just kind of, like, and, like, we should have tried to, like, figure it out, like, do something better, but we just kind of liked what we had, so I just said, fuck it.
Really?
Like, yeah, most people won't notice. Yeah.
And yes, like, who the fuck cares? Like, Jason, you want Jason on the boat, right? Like, that's where you want the madness to happen. Who the fuck cares if he swims there?
Well, that's the other thing too, is, and here's your logistic problem explained, is they did not want Jason on the boat. They wanted Jason on the boat for, like, maybe 20 minutes.
Yes.
And then the rest would be in New York, but they said they didn't have the budget to do 70% of the movie in New York. They said, like, 50%. And then he's writing it and working on it. And then they said, maybe not 50%. Maybe more like 30%. And so I kept getting, like, it was not the creative's decision to do what they did. It was kind of the producers putting pressure on them to go,
Where it ended up was, like, literally in New York was, like, the shot in Times Square, and that's it. Like, he had a bunch of other cool shit written. Like, he wanted a scene in Madison Square Garden, and, like, a bunch of iconic lookouts.
I think he wanted the opening of the movie would be him crossing, I forgot which bridge it's called, but like him walking on a bridge in New York, like Jason walking on a bridge in New York. Yeah, so like, and you know what? I don't ever give, like, everyone says is what we're saying right now. Like, hey, most of the movie's on the boat. And it's true in a way, but I checked the time stamp on this and they arrive at New York 1 hour in and there's 40 minutes left. So credit where credit's due, 40 minutes of the movie is quote unquote in New York.
Right.
But I don't think a lot of that shit was actually shot in New York.
No, because evidently, like, the train sequence isn't actually filmed in New York.
Yes.
And, like, the dock sequence wasn't actually filmed in New York. Like where they're kind of in, like, the industrial section where they steal Rennie and they end up having to go look for her. Yeah, like, it's – there's 40 minutes of on the ground in New York, according to the movie, but like iconic, yeah. Like what you would think of New York, what you think of Manhattan at that is very little of this film.
But also me as a 10-year-old kid, I don't know that, but I do want to see Jason. I want to see Jason in the city, and we do get 40 minutes of it. So, but even as a kid, I felt like I got ripped off. And I think part of the reason is it feels like by the time this cruise ship or this, what's left of it, once these people reach New York, it feels like you've been through a whole Jason movie. Like, even though it's only an hour in, it feels like a bunch of people got killed and these people escaped. And then all of a sudden, here's the second movie almost. Like, but it was like short and, you know, it's just, I don't know. When you're a kid, it was not, even I imagine adults at the time, it's not what was advertised. It was advertised as Jason Takes Manhattan.
Yeah.
And that's not what you really get.
Not Jason walks through Times Square for 40 seconds.
Yeah, and although that part is pretty awesome.
Yes.
We'll just talk about it right now. Yeah, he's walking down the street. He kicks, like, these punks' boombox, and they pull out some fucking blades on him. Like, hey, motherfucker, what do you think you're doing? And he just stops and turns around and lifts up his mask. Pretty cool.
Yeah,
I guess it's dumb. Like, it feels so out of character for him. But it's also, like, part of the reason I like this movie is, like, it's weird. It's weird to see Jason in New York. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's...
Right, it's out of his normal habitat of the, you know, the woods and...
He's a fish out of water.
Yeah.
Like, he's almost not as menacing in a way. There is a great part where they run into this diner and this fucking waitress is standing there and they're like, there's this maniac, he's trying to kill us, and she's like, welcome to New York.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I mean, it's dumb, but like, it kind of speaks to like how goofy, like, he's just not as terrifying there, but it's also kind of cool.
Right.
Anyways, we kind of got a little bit ahead of ourselves, so like, in this movie, like, we have to talk about the story, I guess, a little bit. So Rennie is the main character.
Mm-hmm.
They're going on this graduation, like, high school graduation trip to New York. And it's like her uncle Charles is with them. But he's like their principal? Is he either the principal as well or just a teacher?
I think he's like the headmaster or... Like, I don't know. I guess it's a public school. He's in charge of everything. Like, yeah, he's the other person's boss. Like, the other
teacher. He's a total dickhead.
Yep.
The authority figures are generally dickheads here. Like, you know, you got him. You got the captain and his son who, like, the captain is just total dick to his son for no reason. Also, we got the doomsayer back in this, which is weird. Yep. This guy on the ship kind of looks like Ralph from 1 and 2, saying this voyage is doomed. Once again, I think he's overselling how far they're going. It's not really a voyage. It's more of a jaunt.
Yep. You're going from New Jersey to New York. Like, you're not cruising from New York to Puerto Rico or wherever.
Also, I feel like this thing tries to kind of sell it as a cruise ship. And if it is, this is the world's smallest cruise ship.
It's also the world's, like, ugliest cruise ship. Like, it looks like a fucking tanker.
Yeah, it looks like like shit you like I don't know, like business shit would be happening on industrial, yep. Like
looks like a shipping boat.
Yeah, exactly. Oh yeah, and so then they're on the ship, and of course Jason gets on and he starts killing them off. There's just a few things I wanted to point out on the ship before we got to New York, which is like one, I wrote everything is peak 80s. They're shooting a music video, 80s hair, 80s guitar, 80s music. That's kind of one of the things I love about this. The girls are doing cocaine like it's no big deal.
Yep.
But one thing I do not like, and I'm fucking sick of, is the goddamn visions in this goddamn series. Like, this is a fucking Jason slaughtering people series. And there's so many of these weird-ass fucking visions in it. And in this one, I think it is, like, most annoying. Like, when Rennie, like, sees a drowning boy outside of her porthole. Like, what the fuck? Like, what is that? Why is she seeing that? And if it, like, is just a vision in her head, which it has to be, like...
Yeah.
Jason is supernatural, but he's not that supernatural. Why does the dog react to it? Why does the dog go, and, like, run out of the room?
Yeah, like, it's like the dog knows something's there, which lends credence to it not being fake, but it totally looks fake.
And it's also just... But it's just, like... This is not the series where, like, a vision like that would be real. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
All it is a dude, like, a zombie coming back and killing people. He does not put, like, magical visions in people's heads and shit. Like, it just...
Yeah. Dumb. And this might just be me, like, imagining this to try and piece together plot. But it is implied very heavily that Rennie had some sort of tragedy as a child that involved water.
Yeah, and you find out later what it is, like way later in the movie, right? Like they treat it like a kind of almost like a big reveal, like
yeah, like they
right, like it's like it yeah, should be at the top, you give that information at the top. I'm sorry, like
yeah, her uncle asshole principal dude. Like tried to drown her. Like evidently she was touched by Jason as a kid.
It's dumb. It reminds me of part three, like the thing in part three, like Jason touched me once in the woods. Like what?
Now I have a special connection.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I was thinking that like she was and now that you say that, I was drawing pieces that make more sense than the actual movie does. Like I was thinking maybe it was, you know, a family member, like her brother or somebody, and they drowned as well. But no, none of that's there. I'm just imagining more sensical reasons for her seeing shit.
I don't like it. And again, yeah, at the end it comes back. It's terrible. I zoned out for a lot of the stuff that happened on the ship, but I do personally really love one of the kills on the ship, which is the sauna.
Yeah.
He walks in, like shoves a hot rock through a guy's stomach.
Yep.
That was actually added in reshoots, and I'm just like, dude, that's one of the best kills in the movie. You added that last second. Good job.
Yeah, it works out really well. In fact, I think most of the other kills on the ship are...
They're tame.
Yep.
Like the girl with the guitar. He takes the guitar. You see him swing it at the camera. So, like, you are a point of view shot of you getting killed. That's all you get.
Yep.
Like, it sucks. And some jelly goes on the lens. Like, great. Thank you. But once we get to New York, I think we're having a little bit of fun. Like, we've mentioned some of the things. One of the things I do like is... One, like we've already mentioned, like you do get to see a little bit of New York at that time period, but also yeah. I really like their depiction of New York at that time period as like this scummy hellhole. Like they make it like almost as bad as like 70s New York, and I don't know if it's accurate to late 80s. I don't know if Rudy Giuliani is in there yet, like cleaning shit up. I don't know, but like I'm pretty sure New York did not have like just containers of toxic waste all over. Like, are we in a fucking Ninja Turtles movie here? What the fuck is going on, dude? Like,
no, that so, never.
Like, right? Like, I've lived in a big city for portions of my life. I've never seen toxic waste in the alleyways. I've never gone down in the sewer, but I imagine there's not, like, just toxic waste containers and toxic waste floods that go through there every night. Like, I don't understand what the fuck they're doing in that sewer. But
yeah, no, that was so the way the movie ends is in this like 10-minute sequence in the sewer.
It's bad.
And it's like this race against the clock to get out of the sewer, because in 10 minutes the entire sewer is going to flood with raw sewage and toxic waste, which I don't think is how sewers work, but
no, I don't think there's like a Noah's Ark moment like every fucking night in the sewers, and I don't think it's flushing out. Like, I'm pretty sure they don't flush toxic waste out of the sewer. Like, I just don't think that's how that works, at least not on purpose or legally, as far as I know. Right. Like, there wouldn't be signs telling you we're flushing toxic wastes into the ocean or whatever the fuck they're doing. It's ridiculous. And I think the reason I hate that scene the most is how they take care of Jason in this one. Like, the way they kill Jason in this movie, I think, ruins an otherwise, like, fun, bad movie. Like, because it's just not fun, bad. It's, well, I don't know. You tell me. I think
once it's terrible. It's straight up awful. Like, they are running away from Jason. The ending of this movie is them clinging to a ladder while the toxic sludge in the sewers of New York eat away at Jason and somehow return him, vision-wise, to the little boy he was when he drowned.
Makes that, like, that's terrible. But, like, even before that, it's terrible. Like, I've loved, like, a lot of the makeup effects they've had for Jason in this series. I think my favorite is 3. I like part 4. I even think part 7 is cool with zombie Jason. In this one, once his mask comes off at the end there, he looks like a children's toy or something that's, like, been melted. Like, he looks ridiculous. He looks laughable. Like, not scary, not disturbing. Like, you just laugh, like, at how bad he looks. And then the sewage starts to come, and he goes, "Mommy!" in, like, a kid's voice. And I'm like, what in the fuck? This dude has never talked, and he just goes, "Mommy!" And then he vomits water out of his mouth. And then he gets flooded. Like, and then the sewage comes and, like, turns him into a little boy. Like, I just hate that ending. Like, you could have done anything else, I would have been happier with the movie.
Yep. It's a really bad, really bad ending, and also makes zero sense, because in this entire movie, Jason has the ability to teleport wherever the fuck he wants to be. So why would he just I'm gonna hang out here and get killed by this sludge?
He has especially powerful teleportation skills in the Kelly Hugh kill scene, or Kelly Hugh's kill scene.
In the dance club. In the club, yeah. Like, he turns around, and then he's, like, on the other side. It's like, what the fuck is going on here? Like,
like you're literally just standing there in the center of the room and spinning in a circle, and he's everywhere you look. So, like, he has to be teleporting, right? Unless he's just, like, very quickly moving without you seeing it. I don't understand.
Yeah, and there's a couple other instances where he is just able to move. Like in all the other movies, yes, like, he is this stalking presence, and he eventually catches you. But it's mostly because, like, the people that he is chasing make stupid decisions and double back and do other dumb things that catch them in this. In this, it's like, no, it doesn't matter where you're going. Jason will be there right by your side. Like,
yeah.
It's really weird.
All right, well, we're going to wrap it up here then. Like, what's your favorite kill?
My favorite kill is the sequence where Julius, who is it's like amateur boxer, he is on the roof with Jason, and he goes for like a minute and a half punching Jason in the face. His knuckles are bleeding. He is so tired. He's like, "Hit me with your best shot," or something like that, to that point. And Jason punches him and literally knocks his head off of his shoulders into a dumpster.
Yeah, same. Like, dude, when I was a kid, it was like the biggest punchline I've ever seen in my life. I was just like, "What the
Yes.
fuck?" Like the first time I ever saw that, it's so goddamn fucking funny. But when I was a kid, I was also kind of scared by it too. Like, oh no, like
Oh
your
wow,
head flying off. But
Jason can literally punch your head right off your
yeah,
shoulders.
but like watching it now. It's like if it wasn't intentionally funny, then it's even funnier that it wasn't intentionally funny because it's just the most ridiculous fucking kill in the entire series. Like it's like we I think we both have a kill that like we love more, but this is by far even more ridiculous than that. And like if you're going for that ridiculous factor, this is the fucking king of the whole series, I think. It's so fucking crazy. So as much as I love the sauna kill, this is my favorite as well.
There's one other there's and just like honorably mention because the kill's not particularly great, but it's right at the beginning when they're on the yacht and Jason comes in and she sees him over her boyfriend's shoulder, and Jason's kind of standing
He
there.
throws him over his shoulder.
No, the guy's like laying, like they're both laying on the bed. They just had sex or whatever. And he's like, he looks over this way and she scurries out the window. She just like runs out the window, and it's like there's no like, "Come on, we got to get out of here." She's like, "Fuck you, I'm out." And then like she ends up getting killed. She's like hides in a front
Hides,
hatch or
yeah.
something, but just like seeing her just be like, there's no like no concern for her boyfriend at all. Just like, "Nope, fuck you, I'm out."
She's smart.
Yeah. I just love that scene.
Yeah. Favorite girl.
This one's hard because I don't really think that any of them are particularly great.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I go with the biology project. I don't know. Even though I hate her.
That's fair. I have Susie, which I think is the chick in the beginning. I think maybe.
I
Yeah,
think
must be.
Rennie actually is pretty now,
Yeah, I
but
had Rennie down, but she kind of annoyed me. She's just kind of like,
yeah, that
she's an
stupid
annoying
80s
person.
clothes.
Yeah.
Oh well, yeah. Well, it was a mediocre movie, so it makes sense.
Yeah, Susie is the one that scurries out the window.
Right, so that's part eight. Rating, Chris.
Even though there are fun parts in this, I kind of hate to do it, but I think it might be the worst movie in the series. I'm gonna go one star here.
I still think five is the worst. I'm going to give it two for my personal affections for it. But
Okay.
yeah, I agree. It's bad. It's really bad. And we have more bad next week. Please come
Yeah,
back.
you're right. You know, I say it right now that I think this might be the worst one in the series, but no, I know the one we're going to watch next week is the worst one in the series, so.
Yeah, in many ways, this is the last proper one because the next one, we'll get into it. Come back.
Movie
Movie
dudes.
dudes. Do 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 do.